You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you. Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. And welcome, 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 dear listeners, wherever you find yourself. Welcome to this Friday edition. It is a little bit of a weird Friday. I say weird because primarily we don't know if we're in summer or in winter. We don't know if this looks like rain or not. Wherever you obviously find yourself, yeah, the seasons are changing and we're obviously getting a little bit closer to the end of the year, which definitely shows that or indicates that. However, as always, we are doing, firstly, we would have started with Uitani. We'll start a little bit later. Don't worry, guys. Don't worry. If you are a fan favorite, we will get into that for today. However, we're quickly just going to start off a little bit with a little bit of the home run. Now, today's conversation on the home run has got me a bit of a, well, it's if to be biblical, it does come with a specific gift that keeps on just delivering, not giving, just delivering, because it continuously delivers elements of, if I can say, salivating discourse, you know, something that can have you participate in a lovely conversation regarding where youth development is geared towards. It's probably one of the reasons, as well as also, you know, why a Friday seems to somewhat fit a little bit more comfortably in with this conversation about youth development. But, and I won't hold, you know, your anticipation in hostage. If we start off by just identifying what we're looking at, if you've seen our social media poster for today on our socials, it is based on a report by a standing committee from the National Council. This particular standing committee, their name, a little bit, you know, the standing committees love their long names for some reason, but the standing committee's name is the Standing Committee of Youth. Wait, let me get it properly. It's the Standing Committee on, it's the Standing Committee on Education, Science, ICT, and Youth Development. Now, the report in question was based on a stakeholder engagement that they invited a whole bunch of stakeholders to. They told them, hey, listen, guys, come and tell us about youth development in the country. Help us understand specifically where you as an organization fit in, and tell us about challenges. Tell us about gains or positives or things that you got right or things that worked that you could successfully implement, so on and so forth. And this particular engagement took place for 4 days or 5 days in July, last month literally, in Otjiwarongo, in the Otjiwarongo region. So the National Council, if you don't know, they are the other house of the parliament. So we've got a bicameral, a legislative. You have an upper house and a lower house. If you did not know, the National Assembly is the lower house. The upper house is the National Council. I know, it takes a little bit of a working round of your brain to understand, who is more important than who. Because for many times the optics tells us that the National Assembly, where the party leaders, the ministers, which is the cabinet, because with the executive form part of the legislature, obviously, in that scenario, and where we see the theatrics as well as also some of the other particular, you know, engagements take place, which in many cases are privileged. I call them many other engagements, because many other engagements have taken place, you know. besides the Hollywood antics of, you know, some members of the National Assembly, you know, almost exchanging, you know, knuckle sandwiches with each other. If you guys remember that famously a few years back, and that's obviously why I label it as other exchanges. But the National Council is the people that you voted for in last year, the people that we went to that, those almost partially abandoned, you know, I'm not saying partially abandoned by the ECN, their, you know, voting officials. I'm talking about partially abandoned by us, the electorate, meaning we didn't show up, or many of you didn't show up, because I did vote. So the National Council, since they just now recently started with their particular year back in April, March? Yeah, no, February? Yes. When they were sworn in, the National Council and the chairperson. So when they began, basically, when they began since February, this is now a completely new, for a few exceptions here and there, for example, like the chairperson. He's still the same chairperson from the previous National Council, meaning he got re-elected. Except for the chairperson, a few other people, you know, it's a brand new council, brand new perspectives, brand new, if you want to add the word flavors, I'll add it for you, in terms of, you know, what conversations are going to take place. So yeah, these guys had to start from new, afresh, basically to understand the Namibian public sector that is responsible basically for youth development. Now, I used a broad term of youth development because they were basically starting off from higher education. You know, not to complain against my designers who designed the poster for today's session on the home run. I didn't go for a basic education flavor. I wanted primarily more a, you know, advanced situation taking place. And each of the engagements that the National Council, that the Standing Committee had with each of the stakeholders brought out specific, unique contributions. Now for today, I'm technically merging this report by the Standing Committee with another report that comes through from the National Council for Higher Education, the NCHE. So the NCHE, if you guys don't know, they have to play a quality assurance role at that. It says so in their particular mandate on their website. They've got a nifty website, mind you. And they've got some reports, mind you. But the downside is that the reports, specifically the reports that look at graduate surveys. I now understand why my alma mater kept forwarding that very annoying survey to me through my email, specifically the one based upon kindly answer these few questions, what you think about your qualification, the subjects, the lectures, the proficiency, the competencies, you know, those kinds of questions that I get asked in that graduate survey. I didn't answer them, I'll be honest. Yes, I am a culprit. So there is a description in that report about the low response rate of my gender, of us men, specifically as graduates to the NCHE's reports. I take responsibility for my decision. I can explain it. I don't know about the other guys. I won't explain on your behalf. That's completely your baby. But there are a couple of stakeholders that had to participate, in terms of engaging with the Standing Committee. And they all cascade, and you can basically see all of these are, higher education par excellence, except for the Teachers Union of Namibia and NANSO, the Namibian National Students Organization. So TUN and NANSO are the only two particular organizations that, because NANSO seems to represent also basic education, learners. I don't know about the legality of that representation because it's a bit weird. The reason why I explain it as being weird is because if you are up to 19 years specifically within the basic education realm, you're still within the particular support structures of your parents. That means your parents still have a legal responsibility towards you, not just 16. The age of 16 has to do with other things like alcohol and a few other items. I shan't go in there. But when we in reality view like legal age limits, the age of 18 is the cutoff age. We all agree upon it. We all know about it and we all identify it. So when we look at Nanso, when you look at Nanso, when I look at Nanso, ask yourself specifically, how can Nanso speak for learners? Yes, learners on high school and primary school. How can they speak for people who automatically are under the guardianship of their parents, their legal guardians, and extended family? But let's not digress and go down that rabbit hole per se. I ask that question because legally, your immediate guardians and your immediate support system falls upon parents, guardians, and extended family, like aunts, uncles, and so on. Or even foster parents, because I discovered a, what was that lovely document about, it was a lovely document that we looked, the other report about, the foster care system, the discussion that we did last month on the home run. And it was a lovely report, mind you guys. So, and the last particular entity that was also part of this overall engagement was the Public Service Commission of Namibia, the PSC, in terms of their particular discussion, participation, and how they basically, you know, factor into this overall conversation. As we obviously look at this dimension, the question that exists, the question, this is the Standing Committee's question, their hypothesis. Their hypothesis was, engagement with key stakeholders in the education, science, and youth development dimension of this country. But there's a sub question, a sub hypothesis that they also established or positioned. This sub hypothesis was one based upon the overall objectives. So you have sort of like the research statement there about engaging with these people or these entities. And then they state here, the primary objective of the stakeholder engagement was to deepen the committee's understanding of the operations, the challenges, and strategic direction of the higher education sector in Namibia. Right there. So it was a fact-finding mission for these committee members. Now, I've observed a few things in the couple of years that Helmut and I have dissected, and that I've also come on air and dissected some of these reports by the legislature. So I'm talking about the standing committees from both the National Assembly and from the National Council. I have observed that we are going in circles. This is my first particular pet peeve. It's an annoyance factor because it seems we are going in circles round and round continuously in terms of what's going on here. And as we obviously see these circles, it seems like the standing committees seem to be collecting the same information, potentially duplicating the same work as the previous council or the previous National Assembly that possibly existed. Now, there's also a potential duplication between one National Assembly Standing Committee and a National Council Standing Committee. Why do I say this? Well, here's the thing. In this report specifically about engagement and about understanding and about seeking deeper understanding, you know, I'm sounding all diplomatic and all that, this particular language. There's a, under the dimension of the national, of the Namibia Commission for Higher Education, or the National Commission, sorry, the National Commission for Higher Education, they explain, the National Council, not Commission, National Council for Higher Education, the Standing Committee explains in terms of their engagement with the NCHE, that the NCHE is aware of oversupply and undersupply in certain professions and fields in Namibia. What do I mean by oversupply? I'm talking about oversupplying, for example, like in nursing, or over-registration of training facilities in nursing and in other particular support healthcare functions for the Namibian economy. And that they're also aware of the oversupply in teachers' qualifications. But the oversupply is based upon whether or not someone is actually telling or informing the student when they show up for registration at a university for an education degree or diploma or whatever it is. We cannot allow you to register for this particular course because we have been informed by the Ministry of Education there's just too many of this particular qualification. No one is doing that, but they are willing to share it. I'm just laying some ground points for us to work from, and that's before David steps in. Another dimension that also emanates from this is when we did the standing committee from the National Assembly that met with the health training facilities, in the motivation by the standing committee, they explained that there's an uncontrollable proliferation or emergence of illegal, and they expressly use the word illegal, health training facilities. But what constitutes illegal, if I ask you? If you're a business, what constitutes illegality? Illegality constitutes if you don't have registration papers for registering with BIPA, registering with that office that we used to be with, Industries and Trade, Ministry of Industry and Trade. I don't know where that office is currently, because it clearly, when the mergers and the moves happened last year, nobody explained that the Industries and Trade function of Industrialization and Trade will move to either International Relations or to Ministry of Mines and Energy. It wasn't explained. It was just said, trade goes there, industries goes there. But trade and industry are interlinked like this, because trade can happen between two Namibians, whether it's in the same town, or whether the one Namibian is sitting at Ausenkeer, and the other Namibian is sitting in Katima, for that matter, or sitting on the border at Ruakana. That's trade. They can buy and sell from each other, from two completely different geographic locations, or they can be in the exact same room and still trade with each other. But yeah, okay, let's not digress and let's not run down a rabbit hole in that specific scenario as well. Now, the use of the word illegality is obviously something that political party members in a National Assembly context will obviously use for, you know, to drive up some sort of sensationalism, to try and find and go on a fishing expedition to establish whether or not illegality has taken place. But here's the concern, and here's the particular flaw in the process of running a business, specifically in training other fellow Namibians in this country, has been that there is a process. And a process, if you don't know, guys, sometimes gets identified as, okay, we identify that's your legal process by which the industry has to be regulated. The industry on training institutions. Specifically training institutions regarding health, the health sector. Because if five people explain the same thing and present the same thing, Who is a lawmaker sitting in National Assembly to declare a word illegal if they did not identify any illegality? If they did not. Now that's duplication number one that takes place. In terms of the Standing Committee itself, with its fact-finding ambition, it obviously aims to understand the extent in terms of which the stakeholders are, you know, are technically delivering on their particular mandates. So we have situations where each of the stakeholders that I'm going to mention that is cascading through this report. So just like I mentioned, firstly, there was NCRST. I extensively explained in the realm of the National Council of Higher Education. There is NUST. There is the NTA. There's the Teachers Union. And for some reason, I don't see UNAM here as well. Because it would have been NUST. It would have been nice to know, you know, in terms of UNAM also being present here, but it seems like they didn't mention that the Standing Committee didn't mention this in terms of presence. So, one of the Namibia's big three universities were present, and obviously the Standing Committee members that were the people who were conducting this particular engagement were the following: Bethwel Shavionja. Who is the chairperson, Piniel Pakarae, who's the vice chairperson, Hercules Janse, member of the council, and Adolf Unona, also a member, and then Matthias Nangama, also a member. So it was a five-member council, supported by parliamentarian clerks at this particular engagement with this industry. I'll put a pause there, because my pause is based upon the National Council of Higher Education's National Council's particular sort of like graduate survey reports. The reason why we've got to look at the graduate survey reports, or the report, the last one that came out earlier this year, but it technically measured up until 2024. It did not measure up until 2025. It's because this graduate survey report, the latest one from the NCHE, gets to explain the, let's say, the higher education dynamics and population demographies. So we're looking at, obviously, male to female split. We're obviously looking at dimensions of what level of training each of the participants in the report participated in, what the population sample size is, or let me just rather say the sample size, what were the registration numbers in certain periods for the various institutions that were measured, and, you know, what were some of the other particular telltale signs that would come from this particular engagement. So, if you ask yourself a question regarding where our higher education system sector finds itself, it's usually a discussion of where you basically studied, what did you study for. And some of the interesting things obviously would be like, where do you find yourself in the Namibian economy currently as a Namibian that had basically acquired skills, who has been certified to participate in a particular sector? The reason why I position that question for you and that description like that for you is because the essence of the higher education sector has been, how does the sector still stay abreast of innovations? What does the sector aim to achieve in the near future? How is the sector going to go about the particular goals that it wishes to achieve? And, you know, how are we going to see the real life change come about that is being, what's the thing's name? That is being sought after, or that is being sort of like, not sought, I can't use the word sought after. Sought sounds like you are chasing a dream, but you know, that we are building towards. Now, higher education's role obviously speaks towards capacity development. It's a regular topic that we keep mentioning about here. Namibia is slowly, or has surely become, a knowledge-based society and economy. There is, however, deficiencies, because nothing is perfect in any particular economy. There is, of course, also a description of concentration in which parts of the economy people find themselves in. What kind of skills do they have? Do the current jobs they have match up to the skills that they own? How do they basically balance themselves against the aspect of, you know, if they have to go for reskilling or for the length of time that they're going to stay in this career, how would they go about basically getting to the next level? Would they have to go back and acquire new skills? Would you have to be like me, you know, that finds myself sometimes in like all manner or kinds of workshops that add further skill sets to my already too established qualifications that I have? How do you utilize these new skills? How do they complement your current skills? What do you see yourself doing with those skills into the near future? How do these particular skills also then basically lead to new industries, new businesses? Will you open up a business? Will you rather become a job seeker versus an innovator? Will you try to establish a new kind of economic particular dimension for the economy? What will you do? How will you factor in with what you've acquired? Now, the reason why I cited, or I want to start from this, from this particular graduate survey. So, as mentioned, it's a survey that came out in, its title is the 2024 National Graduate Survey Report, but it came out earlier this year, in March 2026. The survey basically covers the cohorts, meaning the students that graduated in 2019, 2020, and 2021 during that period, and that they were assessed in 2024, but the report only comes out in 2026. And this particular dimension helps to identify, okay, what are these students doing? Where do they find themselves? What are their skill sets? For example, in the report they explain, higher education has undergone profound change. And this particular transformation was driven by rising public demand for accountability, for relevance, and for equitable access. In SADC, enrollment rates have continued to rise, yet they remain below global averages. As of 2024, the gross tertiary enrollment rate in SADC countries is estimated at around 11% of a country's population. Institute for Statistics, and this is compared to the global average of approximately 40%. Now, if you look at 11% into your population, we're 3 million, you would assume, okay, so that's 300,000 people, basically. But 300,000, which is a 10% out of 3 million, this can be any age range. So potentially, here's some of the influencing factors from that statement. We could have Namibians retiring today, this week, this Friday, calling it their last Friday at their place of employment, who probably have a master's degree, a doctorate, who might have an honors degree, who might have a bachelor's degree, who might have a national diploma of some sort, who might have a national certificate of some sort. At all of those levels, there's a Namibian resigning or retiring today. That's the probability you've got to work with. Out of that 300,000, there's a Namibian or a there's a Namibian retiring or resigning right now. If you look at that dimension, this means, first and foremost, this could be a Namibian that potentially will not go back to work. I'm just going to stop the scenario there because you don't know if the person is retiring, whether they did something good or bad, whether the person is resigning, whether they did something good or bad. But just play with the scenario in terms of this is someone who is going to step away from their current employment. You don't know if that person is going to open up a business, or you don't know if that person is going to step away completely out of the Namibian economy. They might find an opportunity either, you know, doing what some of the stories that have come out of Botswana and South Africa and Zimbabwe of people that, you know, go and fight in the Russia-Ukraine war. You know, they, I mean, it's a lot of money. I'm not putting anything there, but it's a lot of money, being offered. But yeah, going there, obviously the big risk is that, you know, you could lose your life, and that's not an understatement. Or you don't know if this person has found an opportunity in a different sector completely. So it's either they are moving out of the country, or they are possibly opening up a new business, meaning going from an employee to an employer status, or whether or not this person is just, you know, cashing in their pension in terms of just, you know, living out their last, you know, last days in terms of stepping into a comfortable setting in terms of post-work. We don't know. That's why I said stop the scenario just of at either retiring or resigning. Then, there's obviously also dimension of where current, those same four qualifications that I mentioned, five qualifications, doctorate, master's degree, honors degree, regular bachelor's degree, and diploma, and certificate level, people that have achieved, and I'm talking about everything post grade 12. Where do those people find themselves currently today? From 1990 hitting this, where do they find themselves? Are they still active in terms of being employed? Are they currently employers? Do they have a particular role in terms of generating in this industrialization on the ground? You know, what's that favorite word that the policy analysts love using? That phrase, sorry, conducive environment. Which is a very broad term, to be honest. It's so broad. It's like sunlight when you wake up in the morning. You know, you are seeing sunlight, but everybody's seeing the same sunlight that you are seeing. So it's a very broad term. Or are these people basically, did they also, you know, experience the same particular scenarios in terms of resigning, retiring, being retrenched, moving on from where they are, reskilling, doing something completely different? You know, you can get out of one industry, get further skills, and come back in a totally different industry. I did that, even though it's still in the media landscape, but I did that. Now, when you position a discussion like that about understanding where skills are deployed in your economy, I like what the standing committee did, meeting with some of the key agencies in the Namibian economy that has to drive the industrialization agenda for Namibia. So, the NCHE's report for that came out in this year, start of this year, 2026, which starts from the discussion of the graduate survey based on 2024. Namibia, okay, they obviously cite here Namibia's unemployment rate, which is at 37%, with a youth unemployment rate of 44.4% out of that 37%. But once again, there's a whole bunch of percentages given in that report, ne? If you want the actual picture, you've got to add that 37% with another percentage. It's a percentage of people who are identified as pre-working age. The guys from 16 years of age. There's a percentage there as well. Because since the NSA is using an International Labour Organization label, it just makes it prudent that you technically benchmark in your reporting against that particular label. So the NCHE says that they've got to monitor and measure the quality of tertiary education or higher education and promote this particular quality in the country. And that obviously through these graduate surveys, they try to provide evidence-based insights into the effectiveness of higher education programs and their contribution to national development. But before we actually continue, guys, we're quickly going to take a short break. We're going to switch over to our regular Friday programming. And that's obviously in partnership with the young guests that we always have here on a Friday. But we'll be back right after this short break.
Lipura nenge no wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu oma filane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace. ShopRite's birthdays in the major league with major low prices. Get 4 kg Real Good IQF chicken mixed portions, only $194.99. 2 liter Rite Brand sunflower seed oil for $69.99, and 3 kg Pasta Grande macaroni or elbows pasta, just $69.99 each. Valid until 6 September 2026. Get major savings with ShopRite's Major League Birthday. Plus, pick a box for a chance to win your share of over $500,000 and weekly gift cards with ShopRite. Buy any 3 participating products. WhatsApp the code on your till slip and pick a box to see if you're a winner. Only at ShopRite.
Why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And coming back, dear listeners, and as we have been doing for the last couple of weeks, okay, not couple of weeks, we've been doing this for a long time, we see the return of my in-studio guests. They're not actually my guests, but because they're obviously going to host the Oetani program that you always find here on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM. And for today's particular session, I'm joined by Kachana and by Faith in studio, and they will get into the interesting conversation that they've planned, or that they have been planning always, for this Friday session. Guys, good afternoon, welcome, and you can take it.
What's up, everyone? You're locked into Eagle FM in partnership with Oetani Childline Radio, where we talk about what you talk about. We are your hosts, Kachana
and Faith, and today we're talking about something low-key inspiring: ability and resilience. But hold on, before we start thinking, we're about to pull out 500-page history books with motivational quotes. Nah, not today. For real, we're definitely not dropping literal fairy tales or heavy drama on you guys. Think of it more as that everyday bounce back energy. You know when you're trying to learn a hard TikTok dance, but you keep on fumbling each time, but then you still post that 10th draft? That right there, that is pure resilience.
Exactly. It's about how people just adapt to whatever gets thrown at them. Like, ability isn't just one static thing. It's how you switch up your game. You could be talking about someone turning a major L into an absolute win.
Exactly. It's the mindset. Resilience is basically that internal, oh, okay, and whenever life tries to throw you off your lane, you improvise, you adjust, and you keep moving.
100%. It's built into how we talk, how we create, and how we just show up every day, you know?
You may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide to not be reduced by them. That's a quote by Maya Angelou. I know we said we weren't going to give any quotes, but it was just one time. My bad, guys. I couldn't help it.
Oh, you pulled my dear Maya Angelou.
You got it there.
Yeah, you're very full out on poetry.
Okay, hey, it was still good not to drop, but okay, I'm done with the motivational speaker stuff. And for the day, I promise.
Okay, I'll let it slide because it was clean. But seriously, it kind of proves that point. Resilience is just that important.
Exactly. Like, think about it. Think about getting ready when you're already running super late. You've pulled out half your closet. Clothes are everywhere. You're trying to piece together an outfit and literally nothing is matching. You're stressing and your brain is genuinely telling you to just put on sweatpants and call it a day.
Bro, that sounds like me just now. 100% been there, done that.
But that's where the resilience kicks in. You don't give up. You switch the clothes around, accessorize, and keep experimenting until you pull out a whole swaggy fit. That bounce back right there, that's resilience in action.
And that's the exact same thing with sports or any other goal. You miss the 3 shots in a row, but instead of stopping under pressure, you take a temporary stumble. Oh. Hold up. Wait, what? Were we talking about sports here? Now, let me just rephrase that. It's not exactly, or it is exactly the same thing with sports and any other goal. And you know when you miss that 3 shots, you don't stop under pressure. You take a temporary stumble and you get back into energy.
Exactly. It's not about never messing up or having everything go perfectly the first time. It's just having that bounce back factor. You adapt, tweak your approach and keep moving.
Always. Ability gives you the tools, but resilience is what actually keeps you in the driver's seat. So whatever you're working through today, just pivot, keep experimenting. Trust me.
That was well said. We're going to step away for a quick commercial break, but don't leave just yet. More great stuff coming your way.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
And we are back. I'm Faith. You're still tuning to Eagle FM in partnership with Uitani Childline Radio, where we talk about what you're talking about. If you're just joining us, welcome. Today, Kachi and I were talking about ability and resilience.
But lucky for you, we've leveled up. So before the break, we were talking about bouncing back, but now we got to talk about the power you're actually carrying, because every single person listening right now has their own unique stack of strengths and talents.
100%. And talent isn't just about, being a superstar or getting first place in everything. Strengths come in all different forms. Maybe you're the super encouraging friend, aka me, who always notices when someone's having a bad day or knows how to make them smile. That's a huge strength right there.
Or what about being a great listener, like the friend who actually pays attention when somebody's talking instead of just waiting for their turn to speak? Or maybe your strength is just having great taste. You're the one who makes the best music playlists or always finds the funnest games to play.
Kachi, are you bragging about yourself?
No, trust me, I'm not.
Exactly. Even stuff like that, being super patient, having a big imagination when you're drawing or writing, or just being that reliable person who always shows up even when you say you will, those are massive strengths.
Facts. Everyone's talents stack looks completely different. You don't need to try and copy someone else's. Whatever your thing is, whether you're the funny one, the creative one, the kind one, or the one with great vibes, own it.
Yo, that's so real. Don't sleep on what you're naturally good at. Everyone has an actual hands-on talent. You just gotta recognize yours and own it.
Like, if you've got insane vocals and can hit high notes seamlessly, or you can learn a dance just by looking at it once, that counts as a talent.
Exactly. And, looking at sports and fitness, maybe you're the fastest one on track, tearing up sprints. Or you're out on the court in basketball going crazy, scoring goals in soccer like it's a second nature. That's raw athleticism, and speed takes serious skill.
What about visual arts? If you can grab a blank sketchpad and draw crazy detailed characters or put together stunning graphic art out of nowhere, that visual talent is huge.
Low-key envious of that. Whenever I picture something, it does not look like there's something. Honestly. I pictured. But whether it's sports, music, arts, performance, or whatever it is you have, that's your personal toolkit.
Exactly. You don't have to play small or hide what you're good at just to blend in. Practice it, sharpen it, and flex it with confidence.
But real talk, if you spend all your time constantly comparing your strengths to someone else's, it's going to be so hard to actually find your own talents. So when you're busy watching their lane that you forget you're bringing to yours, because believe it or not, everyone has something they excel at, including you.
Facts. Just because your talent doesn't look like their talent doesn't mean it's less real. That moment you stop comparing, that's the exact moment you actually notice what what makes you goated.
And just like that, ladies and gents, kings and queens, we are wrapping up today's show. But before we officially log off, remember the whole takeaway from today? Resilience is just that everyday bounce back factor, and your talents are completely and uniquely yours.
Facts. Don't waste energy comparing your journey or your gifts to anyone else's. Flex your strengths, own your lane, and whenever life throws a little curveball at you, just pivot and keep on moving.
Hopefully you picked up some good stuff from us today. That's it from your host, Faith.
And Kachana.
Massive shout out to everybody locking in with us today. We also want to extend a huge thank you to Lifeline Childline and UNICEF Namibia and European Union for making this program possible as always. Thank you.
You are locked into Eagle FM in partnership with Uitani Childline Radio, where we talk about what you talk about. Remember, if you ever need someone to talk to or call, call the toll-free numbers 116 or 106. That's it from us. We will catch you right here on the next spin. Bye.
Peace.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere urikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko mberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you. Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. And coming back, dear listeners, there from the Uitani crew, who gave you guys that insightful and interesting and entertaining engagement right there. As well as always, do remember that only happens here on Eagle FM, here on your number one talk radio station specifically, where we bring you those particular insightful engagements. We are back into the regular programming. That's with the rest of the Home Run, whereby you are in our company. Obviously, that first 30 minutes of every Friday's Home Run is what we usually, you know, stand off or, you know, put aside for the Uitani program. But just nonetheless still in our company from 4 to 7. And when we left off, primarily when we had to cross over, was the discussion about dissecting the latest graduate survey report by the National Council of for Higher Education. So the NCHE cited here specifically, and I want to get into sort of like just the executive summary, primarily because I don't want to go any further into this report itself. It's 156 pages. Our main focus comes from a 34-page report from the National Council's Standing Committee on Education. So I'll just stick to the 34-page report. But just as a little bit of an excerpt from the NCHE. So they give some indicators with regards to participants that were surveyed in this 2026 report. It's known as the 2024 report, but it came out in 2026. I'm just refreshing your minds on that. That's the confusion I also had to deal with. It came out in, it was compiled in 2024, but it came out in 2026. So the graduate population that they cite here for the period that was part of this assessment, that they extracted, you know, people that to participate in the survey with, the graduate population that Namibia has in 2024 or had in 2024 was 32,811. It's a lot of Namibians. 32,811 Namibians. That's the graduate population of 2024. In 2021, it was 15,352. In 2019, it was slightly higher than the 2021 total. It was at 19,000. So I don't know what happened in terms of the fluctuations in terms of graduate population. But somewhere between 2019 and 2024, Namibia got an extra 12,000 people extra. But between 2019 and 2021, Namibia lost 4,000 graduates. I don't know what happened. I don't know. This probably could only mean that between 2021 to 2023, we had rapid graduations happening. That's all I can deduce. David, how are you doing? Sorry for not greeting you. Sorry, man.
No, thank you for recognizing me. How are you?
Yeah, because I forgot that you quickly slid in here and you're sitting here silently.
Yeah, no problem. How are you doing?
I'm okay, man.
Yeah.
Are you also? How are you doing?
Under control. It's a Friday. We have to take it easy.
David, what kind of an answer is that? That's not even diplomatic.
No, it's a Friday answer. We
okay. So we try to stay within our lanes.
Stay within the decorum.
Okay, decorum, man. Yeah. So David.
Yeah.
So currently, as at 2024,
yeah,
Namibia has a graduate population of 32,800 Namibians.
Okay.
32,000.
Yeah.
The male to female spread from that 32,000,
mm-hmm.
71% women,
mm-hmm.
29% men.
Yeah.
Someone told me the other day I should say male female, and I asked them why. And they said, no, you must stick to male female. And I still asked them why. Why must I say male female? I mean, this is not a biology exam.
Yeah.
We can still say men, women, right?
Yeah.
The study population, meaning the population that was still in the process of getting their qualifications,
yeah,
as at 2024,
yeah,
was 24,000.
Okay.
Then it's not 24,000 out of the 32,000,
yeah,
graduates.
Yeah.
It's put them together.
Okay.
So these were 50,000 people,
yeah,
that Namibia had that were either already have,
uh-huh,
or who are still getting.
Yeah.
The core concern from this, David, is the first report, the report from the Standing Committee
of
the National Council.
Yeah.
It's an interesting report. I first want to get, you know, it's just your summary. What do you think of that report?
Yeah, I've seen it and I do not want to, I do not want to downgrade their effort.
No. I never do that because they give like the best.
Yeah, they give the best perspective and also the best finding. However, most of the things you already have a picture,
yeah,
of how things will look like.
Yeah.
You look at the institutions such as NTA. They look at you know,
NCRSD.
NRSD. They also look at NAST, and they also look at NANSO. Yeah, there are a lot of questions out there. Maybe there is an intended specific objective that they also look at. But most of the things that you look at, especially apart from getting statistics and number, in the overall summary of the report itself, one of the things that stand out is funding, is institutional fragmentation, double in terms of doing works.
Duplication
in terms of doing work, where you have regulatory bodies in the education sector, such as NTA and NQA, they are a bit bumming each other. And also contradictory in terms of report requirements. One of the things I have identified is there was an indication which was given, especially in an analysis of NQA and it's not NQA, I think it's National Higher Education Council. And also NTA. One of the things that I've seen, and I think we discussed about it at one point, especially regarding this institution that start operating without getting meeting all the requirements, where one of their requirements is to start operating before you get
before you can measure them. Yeah. There must be an operation.
Yeah, but overall, to look at the report, it's quite a very good report, insightful.
Yeah,
and maybe like the question that we have mentioned, why only those targeted institutions, and also
no, why only was NAST?
Yeah, why only was NAST there?
Yeah,
and also to look at the issue of funding. Are we really going to and funding become a problem also in Namibia?
Most of them keep mentioning funding limitation.
No, is funding institutional fragmentation?
Yeah,
those are the key things that the report. If you have to summarize it in two words,
yeah,
is lack of funding, lack of resources,
yeah,
institutional fragmentation, and also when you look at, for example, the skills,
yeah,
where you have people that are leaving key institutions such as the public sector. But one of the thing about funding, I think we are starting to misunderstanding the concept of funding. To say, are we only speaking about funding or proper utilization of funds? Yeah, because no matter how much money you are pumping into a bucket, they will still fall out.
But if there's multiple holes in the bucket,
No, it's true. Now let me say you are pumping more money to upgrade local authority.
Yeah.
Then you have people that do not have qualification. Honestly, Dwight, funding is not going to be a solution.
And imagine the same people that work at local authority level. They don't understand they don't know the Procurement Act.
No, it's not even about the Procurement Act. You must not only and one economist put it right, Solomon Hay, at one point say, don't put too much money onto the problem. Don't just throw money to the problem.
Yeah.
Understand it to say, if the problem is funding, what happened to the previous funds?
Yeah.
The funding
and
must
how
be
was
there.
The previous funding used?
It must be proper utilization of funds.
Yeah.
Let's have people that have capacity to handle that fund. Let's have proper reports. Then we can move forward. But if you just say everything is funding, for us to achieve NDP6, we need fundings. For us to take oil from the ground, we need fundings.
Yeah.
For us to fight cybersecurity and all this, we need funding. But we don't ask ourselves to say, have we utilized properly the fundings that we got before?
Yeah.
Because no matter how many times you are pumping water into a bucket, if there are a lot of holes, they will not hold.
Yeah.
And maybe, I think what is also, maybe I have expected is what need to be done. One of the recommendations which was given, especially looking at the vocational, if you read that report at the vocational training centers or vocational graduates, it's lack of financial skills, lack of proper training to come up with a better proposal on how to manage businesses. And one thing is also that...
Are those for the graduates or for the centers?
Yeah, for the graduates. For the graduate of vocational training.
Yeah.
And one of the things which I don't think is proper report is...
But then they need business administration in the curriculums.
Definitely, inability to be absorbed by the workforce, which to
or
me
by the economy.
Yeah, they indicated to say inability to be absorbed by the workforce. But you start realizing to say that yes, it can be the problem, but what is the overall solution? What is the overall solution of that? if you look at the institution of research, your favorite, NRS.
NCRS.
Yeah, the one which is headed by Prof. Anisha Peters. 2025, which is last year.
Yeah.
I think I wrote something related to the research in Namibia. But looking at that aspect, the issue of lack of funding is still coming out again to say, research need fundings because there are international agreement, international standard that are saying within your budget, at least put this percentage of money within the national budget, put this percentage of money into research and development.
Mm.
You can't industrialize, you can't develop without research and development.
Mm.
But I think the research made it very well, especially also looking at domestic prioritization of research. But to me, it's a good report. There's a good recommendations. But somebody must tell me. I know there are new findings. There are new findings.
No, but I realized. I thought Nanso's recommendations now was everyone's recommendations until I had to go and look properly through the report and I realized.
Yeah.
Oh, so each section has its own recommendations. Mm. Yeah.
And maybe when you are looking at the institution that are taken in the education and ICT, maybe the funding is also the problem for the committee to include other institutions. Because if you look at a student, I think are we not having more than three student organizations?
Yeah.
And maybe when you
it's
look at...
Nanso, what's the other one's name? SUN?
Yeah, SUN. And the other one, I think it's a bit... There's a continental thing, a continental name, Africa, something, students. But I think it's also the... Is it the funding that limit the inclusion of... all the institution within that sector.
But let me ask you this way, David.
Yeah.
this discussion of planning the educational sector of Namibia.
Mm,
In essence, just yesterday we had that continent versus, you know, that continental discussion of who plans your economy for you.
Yeah.
Even in the educational sector.
Yeah.
For some reason, we've got this democratic overall, everybody can communicate with everybody through channels and whatnot.
Yeah.
But this discussion of continuously highlighting if we plan for the youth, mm-hmm. we achieve certain particular goals. In the Namibian context, we've got a myriad of problems, but for some reason we believe that just through education we can reach the goals. But here's the thing, David. Mm. This other report that I sent you, the one from NCHE.
Yeah.
The NCHE guys explain that Namibia has 11% out of the 3 million that have... Now we come back from the short break right there, dear listeners. You're here on The Home Run. It's Dwight and David. I won't say the other nickname, minus the H, that being Helmut, for this past 5 days.
Yeah.
David, just the point I wanted to make before the break was, everywhere where I've seen, specifically and looking into the educational aspects of other continents and countries, it's only in a Namibian context, which is unique, which is wonderful to see, but we go with this agenda of youth first.
Yeah.
Without realizing that, you know, the same youth actors will not be youth forever.
No, every year people are graduating from being a youth because No, look, ne. you know. So
it's a factual statement you're making, ne. But the way you say it,
no. Every day we are graduating from being a young person to be an adult.
Yeah.
But due to the fact that during our youth we did not do our work properly, or we did not receive the treatment that the youth was supposed to receive, that's why you have a new concept of adult youth. There's nothing like an adult youth. You are either a youth, you are an adult, or you are advanced age or old. And that's a specific thing.
Yeah.
That's why even people even went to argue about the youth fund to say, no, there are those who are still young people, they just advance in terms of age.
Yeah.
Because...
But I want to know, who were the people that argued for that label?
No,
that put me into the youth.
No, I think it's a fair argument, especially looking at the situation. It's really a fair argument because at an international standard, a young person is 15 to 30 years. In the continent of Africa, 15 to 30 years. But looking at National Youth Council Act of 2009, for example, they speak about from the age of 16 until 35. We are one of the few countries that define youth beyond 35. and I think you may say it's quite, you know, funny.
Yeah.
But there might be a reason to say, even if you have programs that are dealing with accommodating of young people, there are still those who miss out, or there are still those who are really not being able to be accommodated.
Yeah.
Because in the UK, for example, people start getting married at the age of 21 or 18. They start getting married, they move out of the house. In Africa, we are fighting, even now with our parents, who should stay in the house and who should not stay. No, it's a reality. It's a fact. And it's not necessarily that you blame an individual. You look at the general economic situation and where we are in. But... I think that have answered a part of your question.
I mean, now obviously through an act like you mentioned, which is always good, to cite specific legal bases.
Yeah.
The other dimension is also one based upon now that you've identified a legal platform or an indicator that says, okay, this is the youth of Namibia. The question then becomes, okay, now what do we do with this information?
No, that is a very important question. And it's also the question that you can also direct to the committee. Apart from recommendation, what I wanted to see is the real problem, the real impact of those institutions. I love what they said about NAST in that report when they said NAST must create its traceability. Initiative to see where are my graduates. You don't just fresh out graduates like that. You have to make sure that to see where are my people.
Yeah.
And it's my responsibility to go to UNAM and say, guys, I need to do a PhD. I don't have money. Or I have this initiative within the UNAM alumni, just to give an example.
Yeah.
Because I'm part of that family. And any other person must be part of any institution that produces you. That's why the issue of traceability, when you look at the recommendation of NAST, is very important to say, if you were created to be one of the most competitive institution and also produce or contribute to science, technology, engineering, and mathematics in the industry, do you have a report for the past 10 years with the impact of your graduate, not only those who are shining, and what are some of the challenges that your graduates have are going through, and what is their contribution to the society? Are you producing the best technologists, or you are producing the best hackers? What would be the problem?
Yeah,
and how do we change that? I think that is one of the very important thing. The other thing which I was expecting is the impact. It's not about you being getting funds; it's about what you do with funds.
Yeah.
What is the impact of the institution? Because there is still no impact being coming out of that. Most of the things that are coming are challenges or initiative being built. If we increase our capacity or workforce with 100 of employees, for example, what are they doing about that?
Yeah. David, it's actually a good thing that you started on the funding.
Yeah.
Funding can do so much, but there's even a basis that starts pre this committee's origins. Back in 2023, or was it 2024? NCRST themselves did a research research survey of Namibia, but they had to do it between 2021 to no, between 2020 to 2022. And then it only came the next year, this particular research report about the landscape of research in Namibia. Now, the CEO of NCRST, you and I, we both know that she's a big proponent for STEM. She believes in STEAM when you add the arts into the STEM, the cluster of subjects.
Yeah.
But she's a big proponent for STEM research and STEM development across Namibia.
Yeah.
The concern obviously has been when NCRST did that research report about the R&D research and development in Namibia, they realized, firstly, government financing, funding, had drastically dropped in a specific period.
Yeah.
And secondly, that yes, there's now all the scientific research being done here in the STEM-based fields, but nothing was happening in the arts and humanities fields, meaning your subject, your field of study, my field of study even. And it's not to say it's for your honors degree or for your research. No.
Industrial.
Taking it further and continuously building on it.
Yeah.
Now, that kind of research and that kind of R&D, particular insight, it was more profound about understanding what Namibia has to improve on for industrial development.
Yeah.
Our talk of yesterday.
Yeah.
Our talk of yesterday also, in a scenario, David, feeds into what are we doing with our graduates?
Yeah.
Now, I first want to identify the duplication that took place.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing you started on the health training facility engagement that the National Assembly has had.
Yeah.
So the National Assembly people are technically began an exercise, and the National Council people come about and they come and duplicate apart from the National Assembly Standing Committee's exercise.
Yeah.
Now, here's the funny thing, David, what I've observed, and I already mentioned it to the listeners. But I've seen now, for the better part of 5 to 6 to 7 years, every time we get new national councils, new national assemblies, and these standing committees they form, it seems like they go and duplicate the same work that was previously. And the thing is, it's not like the reports are hidden. It's there on the parliament website.
The question is that do you have time to read the report? It's true. It's true. Do you have time to read the report, or you want to go to the field so that you can also see what is happening?
You and I know that where the motivation for the reports come from.
Yeah, because sometimes you start seeing that if you read a few things from that area, another study will not surprise you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you can give me that report and I can predict maybe 70% of it. But I appreciate there are new things.
Mm.
But most of the thing is that do we know the necessity of that, or that is the end of it?
Mm.
Or that is just part of reporting? Because it's very important to look at what is being recommended and who is being recommended to. And is recommendation being taken? Because most of the policymakers, they are colleagues.
Yeah.
They are colleagues. Minister of Education is a policymaker. It's a lawmaker. You have all this. They meet every time.
Mm.
And also to look at the recommendation to say, what were the recommendation 5 years ago?
Mm.
And maybe just to touch on the aspect of research, there is one thing that maybe we are yet to get there. There's a difference between an academic research and industrial research. You know, in many cases, when you compare with other countries, when they produce doctorates in engineering, most of these guys, they go to the field.
Mm.
They become industrial researchers. They look at, apart from invention, they design new things, a new way of doing things. But in Namibia, if you want to find an individual with a PhD, you go to a university.
Mm.
But that was not supposed to be the aim.
Mm.
To say you can excel academically, but doesn't mean that you can excel industrially.
Mm.
Yeah, and if you are an academic researcher, or you are an academic expert, maybe you can connect to those who are doing industrial research.
Mm.
And you will be lucky then to find out those practical, they are called the pracademics, where you teach, but you can also go to the field.
Yeah.
You have...
I met such a guy recently.
Even the head of... the head of the research commission, she was a lecturer, she was an academic leader, but she can also go to the lab, she can go to the field and do the work. And you find few of them, but in most cases, when you look into that, I think the differentiation must also be realized, especially with the way we are now. Maybe just to end to that, another interesting thing that was given is a research on public service, is public service commission. And it was indicated that it was an independent, institution. Maybe the other thing that they missed out is the operation. You know, a public service commission is one of the most important, institution in any country that you can ever find. But one of the things that they did not mention is the resources and also independence in terms of operation.
Yeah.
A public service commission oversees public sector and recommend key appointments and promote training and all these things. It's like a chairperson of the public sector. I mean, it's a board of public sector, public sector, but it's operating under departments within the office of the prime minister. It was stated the previous chairperson, Mr. Solomon.
Isn't it Jacobs?
Yeah, Jacobs. Jacobs, yeah. Salman, there's a name like that. He indicated
Did he retire or resign?
I think he retired. His time came to an end.
This year? Because he was still there last year.
Until because the new one was just recently appointed by when there was a debate in Parliament, you remember?
He
at one point indicated that although we are doing our best, we need an office that we can operate from. And I think that is one thing that they missed out. Maybe they went to...
They was based in OPM.
Yeah. But he said that they are not being able to do their work properly. You need your own budget. You need your own office. And
which was what we did with the judiciary. We split judiciary from Ministry of Justice.
Yeah. That is what it is, because if you're in my house, how can you oversee my work? If I'm accommodating you, it also quite it's a fair argument. He made a fair argument.
Not really.
You are giving me your budget, you are giving me money.
Yeah.
How can I be independent? can I really say you are not doing well here? You can already see it's a human nature thing.
it's a natural reaction.
I'm the department within you,
yeah,
but I have to oversee you and recommend you. It's not correct.
True.
No, just look at it that way. Yeah.
Okay, before we continue, we're going to take an ad break.
Yeah.
When it comes to managing your investments, should you rely on one expert or a team of specialists? With a multi-managed portfolio from Alex Forbes, your funds are guided by carefully selected investment experts working together to pursue more consistent outcomes. We pair the right managers behind the scenes so you don't have to manage multiple relationships. Strengthen your investment destination. Visit alexforbes.com today.
Alex Forbes Namibia is registered and regulated by NAMFISA.
You know, there's something about opening a Tafel Lager that brings people together.
Yeah, and once people come together, the voices follow.
Ideas get shared, laughs get louder.
New perspectives come up where you least expect them.
Because when people use their voice, conversations start.
And those conversations, they can refresh a moment and even shape what happens next.
So, grab a Tafel Lager and start the conversation. Tafel Lager, now we're talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Okay, my turn. Hold on. Just let me finish my story. As I was saying, I was...
Oh, my man. You've been finishing your story for 10 minutes now. Even my tassies is getting warm.
Just give more eyes. Anyways, long story short.
Oh, hi. When you're talking, it's a short story long.
Short stories turn long. Go best together with Tassenberg. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
We come back to listeners from the extended break right there. And just where we left off, David and I, we were still trying to understand the sort of like the finer details of the Public Service Commission, or basically who has a say under whose roof, in which condition, of who's living in whose house, from whose budget.
you know, our parents, when, you know, they say the parents, they don't get wrong.
Yeah.
They maybe forgot. When you lose an argument with your kids, one of the thing that you say is that you are in my house. That is one thing. No rules roof you are on, which is quite fair.
Yeah.
But I think the question should not be what is missed or what is identified. The question is what do you do with information.
Yeah.
And really, if you look at maybe we are going to stop maybe next year. If you look at most of the research that are being done, most of those statistics, those are the works of to be coordinated properly by NSA. If NSA was maybe consulted, they would support it to be better. Would have maybe better graphs. I don't want to say they should give us all the graphs. Maybe we should have a clear picture on the why and the real numbers, because NSA was supposed to be everywhere, and your argument that you are always making to say if it's capacitated very well.
Yeah.
Because do you know that when you capacitate NSA, you capacitate Parliament.
Yeah.
When you capacitate NSA, you also you capacitate universities.
Yeah.
And when you capacitate universities, you have capacitated the Research Commission.
Mm.
I was talking to the head of NSA, I think
Mr. Shimofeni.
Yeah. Mm. At one point, and I said, no.
No, you interviewed him here. What do you mean at one point?
That was the point I was talking about. Just off record, just a general conversation. I say, no, how come you have five doctors in your institution or six? You have better academicians. Then you speak about the aspect of data to say your institution have a lot of data, and if somebody is not studying within your institution, they are not upgrading themselves because you are rich in terms of data. That's why the argument of saying proper research, you need to capacitate the right person.
Yeah.
If you capacitate the right person, then it's easy to identify all these problems.
Mm.
Who did not know that regulators in education, they are contradicting each other? Who did not know that we have duplication of fragmentation in terms of institutional coordination?
Mm.
It's not a new word.
Mm.
Who did not know that somebody conducting oversight has an argument like that, the contradictory argument of saying, you know, we are encroachment of bogus institution in Namibia. Mm. Some of them, they are operating without proper requirements.
Mm.
But what is the law saying? The law is saying for you to be accredited, you must be operational for a long time.
Mm.
But in the process of operational, some of these students that you are taking...
No, the word that was used was illegal. Illegal.
Yeah.
And the question I asked now at the start was, who told the MP it's illegal if...
They don't allow them to do that.
If the institutions representing the sectors say, no, but please first have an office.
Yeah.
And first have students.
Yeah. And what will happen to these students now? This become the experiment.
Yeah.
If you did not succeed, they become the casualty of the struggle for you to establish. If you succeed, maybe you're going to capacitate them, or they become the first graduate to that institution.
Yeah.
But I think it just...
And they become a success story to that institution.
Yeah.
That institution attracts more learners.
Yeah. And the report itself is also showing that those who went to the field, they are also not coordinating with one another.
Mm.
Because they were supposed to look for information which are not there.
Mm.
I see there are new informations, but why continue recommending something which was recommended by APRM? Something which was stated by the president already, or something which was stated by many universities, or something which NSA has stated.
Yeah.
Why do you keep on recommending the recommendation which was already recommended?
Yeah. Which
are already active. Yeah. Maybe you should say enforcement of the recommendation there.
But
maybe you should just reference.
But it doesn't even seem like in each of the recommendations, that they are citing. Like previous recommendations, like you're mentioning now, citing previous recommendations, because all of these recommendations start from what was presented now to the committee. So the, the committee makes a recommendation of a presentation. Let's, for example, say what NCHE, NCHE gave them now.
Yeah.
Then NCRST comes, they make them a recommendation.
Yeah.
Right now, what was given to them. Then, who's the other? NTA comes, then they make a recommendation based on what they were told just now. But no, but none of these MPs ask, basically, okay, was this, was there a previous exercise of a similar nature?
Yeah, you are even supposed to, maybe it's a, you can't really judge, maybe it's the nature and the structure of how they report. But one thing I can agree with is that, if you look at the conclusion of that report, it's boiling down to key things that are still impacting Namibia.
Yeah.
That's why I always recommend to say, let's go to what is APRM did at the secretariat level and also at the continental level. What is the study about Namibia in the context of Africa? If you just take that study for 2025, implementation of Agenda 2063, the case study of Namibia. If you just take that studies, then you go to the last part where the recommendations are. Then you look at the same report, that one. You see similarities. The fragmentation of institutions, it has been there. You need to consolidate your institutions. You speak about coordination, you speak about fundings. You speak about the lack of statistics. You can only have lack of statistics when you don't have proper research. And when you don't have proper research, then you can still go back to the field. And you'll be shocked next year. Maybe you are, there's still going to be a study being done. Then you ask yourself a question to say, now, if you have a problem of funding, where is the funding going to come from? Do you also have information that we don't have enough money in the country? Or do you also have information that our debts per GDP is beyond the SADC threshold?
Yeah.
Where is the money going to come from? Because those are the things that you need to ask yourself to say. Maybe they were supposed to come up with those recommendations to say, if there is not enough fundings for research, then the Minister of Finance speak about prudency. Maybe that is the best that she can do. What is your recommendation as a lawmaker? Where are you going to get the money from? Because you can go back to the finance and say, no, this is the best we can do. We are cutting. We are under pressure. Oil price is increasing. This is the, we are investing in the future also. Why can't you just go to the, because that is only the problem that you are mentioning. Why can't you go to what need to be done? If you have a problem with fundings, where do we get the funds from? Because maybe the other thing is also that what people, when people look at Namibian graduates, they only look at unemployed young people.
Yeah.
But they don't look at that as human capital. That can be used either locally or can be used internationally. Because if you ask, where is the money? The money is with human capital that is not utilized. Because that is, they are just not utilized. They can bring more money. Yeah, maybe that is a question we need to look into.
David?
Yeah.
I'm just now quickly scrolling through the report again.
Yeah.
I'm still under NUSTs.
There's
a sentence here.
Yeah.
And I've heard this, I have heard this many times in the internship programs.
Yeah.
I remember the last internship, because I was told to do it. I was, I could not be exempted from the thing. Doing an internship.
Yeah.
And this sentence on page 12 says, under the challenges that they identified under NUST, weak work ethic and entitlement culture were identified as undermining competitiveness, urging NUST to integrate ethics, emotional intelligence, and human duty into its programs. Now, that speaks primarily to the students.
Yeah.
Now, there's an interesting thing I heard once from a lady in the tourism sector who explained a graduate would come, let's say, from IUM, and they graduated in the tourism management. I think the course's name is tourism management. So the graduate comes from this from this course, but because the word management exists in the course's title, in its name, the person, this young Namibian, thinks that they can be a manager.
Yeah.
Now, my own younger brother did the same thing. He applied for a position that required the person should have at least have had like 7 or 6 years. But because he was basically applying at that stage for, it was a managerial, HR managerial role.
Yeah.
Because he has a degree in industrial psychology.
Yeah.
Now, I laughed because when he told me about it, I was like, but dude, you just graduated the other day. What makes you think you can be a manager of a department?
Yeah.
And he said, no, I have a requirement, the educational requirement.
Yeah.
And then this example popped up by this tourism lady again.
Yeah.
And I remember this, but just after COVID, this was 2022. And she explained this scenario once. And I was like, it's very funny.
Hmm.
Then when I spoke to one of my lecturers at the media department at NUST, feedback came through about the attitude of the interns.
Yeah.
And the attitude of the interns were that they were entitled in 1 year.
Yeah. Okay.
The reason I'm laughing is because of what happened in the classroom.
Yeah.
So, and now remember, internship at NUST takes place in the first half of the year, not in the second half of the year. So in the second half of the year, we had these lessons in end of 2021, these classes that I had to go to. So now I'm sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, now who were the people that were entitled?
Yeah.
Because the feedback comes from the employer, from the company, comes back to the chief, the lecturer in charge of the internship program.
Yeah.
Because they've got to work with the internship department.
Yeah.
And so the feedback comes back from the employers about these interns and their attitudes and their work ethic.
Yeah.
And then they cite their poor work ethic, poor discipline, entitled, cheeky. Let me just use the colloquial term. Cheeky.
Yeah.
Stubborn.
Yeah.
Sometimes also very argumentative. They argue with supervisors.
Yeah.
And it's not like the intern comes from a position of being more knowledgeable. You know, they've worked longer than the supervisor.
Yeah.
They're just arguing for the sake of arguing.
Yeah.
Now, this thing pops up, this sentence. And I was like, this is something I've seen a lot.
Yeah. No, with that aspect, I disagree to disagree. No, I agree to disagree because you know why I'm saying that?
Yeah.
Is it a training issue or is it a personality issue? Because if we answer that question, we can move forward because one thing that we need to know, if somebody is an intern, maybe it's the expectation from the employer too.
Yeah.
Because it's a person, it's being trained. A person needs skills.
An intern is a training person.
It's a trainee.
Yeah, it's a trainee.
However, this trainee, number one, is a human being.
Mm.
Number two, this trainee has a certain understanding of a knowledge.
Mm.
Maybe coming from the field with the new knowledge.
Mm.
But what people, and that is a debate that we can be able to expand. Mm. If it's really that the institution itself did not enhance skills such as emotional intelligence, conflict and dispute resolutions, and also maybe respect. If the institution did not do that, that one we can work about it. But the general perspective that you see is that I think it's an aspect of we were talking about the generational conflict the other day.
Yeah,
to say if something is wrong in the company, sometimes it's not about the intent. Sometimes it's a perception that the person, just because the person is an intern, you really find people who are trainable. Mm. And you also really find people who are accommodative.
Mm.
But you find somebody who will work for 30 years and looking at a person who come in, and not just because they are intern.
Mm.
Not just because they are intern. But sometimes I think it's just a matter of this conflict that is already been created.
Mm.
To say, you found me, I have a certificate, a grade 10 certificate, and you came in with your degree or your diploma, and what do you want to tell me?
Mm.
Because the thing was supposed to be, I train you on the practical work, you come in with new works.
Mm.
And that question you can still ask to say, is it really, we want to tell me that all the NUST interns, they have lack of those skills? I don't believe it.
Mm. I also doubt that point because I'm technically a NUST graduate. But here's the concern, David. There's a good point you mentioned just now. Based upon, you know, that symbiotic approach to advancing in the Namibia's economic development. The experienced heads in the industry versus the new people that have to come in. Now, a concern that I've seen many cases has been how in the media space, and this is where I find our fellow practitioners at fault. In the media space, they are not willing to train. I'm not talking about an Eagle FM. I'm talking about in my experience at observing. David, I've seen experienced journalists who were not told by the HR department or by the supervisor of the department, of the editorial department, you've got to train this particular cluster of interns. We're getting interns. You've got to train them. These are the things that you've got to train them on. And they've got to show real improvement back to their supervisor at the university. In many cases, David, I kid you not, that example you just explained now. But let's morph the one in terms of the experienced person. Let's morph it to a scenario of, why must I care? What's in it for me? Or the mentality of, why must I babysit some 21-year-old coming now from the class?
You know where the challenge that we have in Namibia. NSA produced data. That indicating that most of the educated people in Namibia, they are not employed. Most of the people that are, and I'm sorry to say this, most of the people that are employed are not the one that are educated in terms of balancing of statistics. Now you have a fear. Number one, it can be a fear versus pride. A fresh graduate, there is always a pride to say, I completed this diploma, I completed this certificate, I completed this degree, I'm going to do it. And you were never in the field. You just come with your theories. Then you come in and underestimate everybody. That is also a problem. Then if pride meet fear, where you find somebody in the field for 35 years, then say, no, there is this intern coming, maybe as what. If I train this person, can become my boss one day. There is this thing. Or just because it's a person, is an intern, cannot do the certain work. It's an aspect of human aspect. And really, I think, maybe if there are evidence which are support, if there are statistics supported by that, or especially looking at NUST intent, or just a recommendation, I think it's unfair.
It's from this report, but the report doesn't cite any statistics.
I think it's really unfair to say all the interns are problematic. What was the behavior of a training officer?
That's why I'm describing that reality that I've seen. The thing is, David, I've been trained myself by someone that had. Did you have a grade 12?
Everybody was trained.
I was trained by someone that had a grade 12. And at that stage, NUST was still polytechnic. So I had a national diploma in marketing. But the thing was, David, she was still my immediate supervisor, lady. She coached the level of knowledge, the ins and outs on the industry, the advertising industry, was second to none in that woman's mind.
No, you can't get it. You can't get it anyway.
You cannot. Yeah. And in many cases, Namibia has a problem with this. There's a slight issue I have with the other statement you made about, you know, when you compare
pride and fear.
No, not pride and fear. 35 years of experience, versus of the degree. The 35 years, it was a scenario of how people viewed higher education. From the personal experiences I've seen. Because I've asked people like this that were even like my age, let's say they were 27 at that stage, and I was also 27. And I asked them, would you continue studying? Some people really just said, I spent 12 years now on school. Why must I spend another 3 years on university?
No, I hear you. I hear you.
Now, in many cases, some people just see basic education as, this is what I've got to sort out. Then I get my job. That's also, I think, the issue that I saw with banking in Namibia. You know, there were a lot of people that just wanted to work in the bank. with just a grade 12?
No, being it will take talent. We will just take you. If you can solve problems. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I know.
Yeah. I don't know why you're saying solve problems.
No, they have a certain thing. They say if you are able, I don't care if you studied chemistry or agriculture. That's why there was one example was given, a microbiologist within the Bank of Namibia, to say, no, we look at your ability to do the work. It's not about...
But that's actually what NTA bases their assessments on.
Yeah.
Because you can have the 35 years and no post-basic education education.
Mm.
They assess you on that 35 years of experience.
I hear you.
But here's the thing, that David, that good point that you made now about the who's employed, who's not employed, the balance of or the dichotomy, because it's basically the dichotomy against the skilled versus the unskilled.
Mm.
The employed currently in Namibia, they can, all of them, for that 10, 15, 20 years of experience, they can get certificates issued to them by NTA. That assesses them for the proficiency in the work they currently serve.
Yeah.
But the unfortunate thing is the guys that are skilled, that have their certificates, diplomas and degrees.
Mm.
The downside is they need to build up the experience.
Yeah. No, we need each other. Look, for things to work, and people must get us correctly.
Yeah.
For things to work properly,
for
the public sector machinery to work properly, for the private sector machinery to work properly, you need both the old, the middle, and the new.
Yeah.
Integrated. There is no need to be generational conflict. Because, look, let me tell you this thing. Let me tell you this thing.
Yeah.
A fresh graduate from NAST or UNAM now has a lot of things that I do not know.
Mm.
You know, they are better at problem-solving skills. They can, you can come to an industry where somebody is still struggling to send an email. You can come to an industry where a computer just needs to be refreshed.
Yeah.
You understand? But you find this person has experience, they know human relation, they know how to deal with things. But tech-wise, these guys are coming from the world of portal.
Mm.
That time people, they used to not even fax. You request, you go to NAMPOS to look at your academic results if they are come out. But now people are using cell phones and other things. That's why if you have this young person, you have this person who have experience, then you accommodate each other. And maybe I don't want to be defensive in terms of that report. Maybe the certain study was really done to say you need to instill certain level of skill to your graduates. But really blaming just the young graduates for everything, I think it's really, really unfair.
It looked a bit like a blanket accusation. The reason why I say it's a blanket accusation, because here's the thing there, David.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with still being youthful at heart.
Yeah.
Or youthful in character.
Yeah.
I'm not going to incorporate dating and those kinds of dimensions.
It's already incorporated.
Because for some reason, ladies have an issue with some of us guys who might be too youthful in our characters.
Yeah.
But in terms of the new kinds of let's say employees that people want to find in a modern world, the person shouldn't be rigid, but the person should also, not just in how they dress, but also in how they act, sort of like give off, a persona, a character of being flexible, of being someone that's in tune with the latest developments.
Yeah.
Now you show up and I almost used our favorite minister that has got 10,000 degrees. David.
Hey.
Now you show up. Let's just say you're a highly qualified individual. Now you show up as a highly qualified individual, ne?
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing you do is you show up there with a suit and a tie.
Yeah.
And formal shoes.
Yeah.
But the people that you're working with all sit there in shorties,
semi-formal,
some are even super casual.
Yeah.
But as long as the productivity happens.
Yeah.
Now, this has been one of the things that Namibia has been trying to grasp with, was, which is also in the modernization agenda. Because that's what NDB6 is about. NDB6 wants us to modernize quicker than usual. it's one of the reasons why the president also went to China, because if you go to China, David, there is industries there that you didn't even realize there are.
No, I see.
So rigidity probably becomes our biggest concern in terms of how we look at higher education and its role that it still has to play in the Namibian landscape.
Mm.
A key thing that I actually want to extrapolate from the NCHE, not from NCRST, but NCHE's particular dimension. Mm. They make this is now the collaboration you spoke about.
Yeah.
The committee recommends that MASAC strengthens the collaboration with NCHE, NQA, and higher education institutions to ensure curricula, the plural for curriculum, remains responsive to labor market demands. But in the NAST presentation, in the NAST presentation, they explained there that NAST, what was that thing? Where's that suggestion? That NAST has to do something in terms of working closer with industry. The committee noted that NAST's ability to respond rapidly to changing industry needs is constrained by rigid regulatory frameworks. That sentence is here somewhere. But it cites now that industry must work closely with the higher education facilities.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, David. They already do. For example, in NAST's case, NAST has got, what do they call that fancy word? Senates.
Yeah.
For every department.
Yeah.
For every faculty that you've got, they have got senates, which have representatives from the private sector, private, not public sector, the private sector, sitting on that senate, who, and every 3 years, your qualification. So the qualification I'm sitting with, this Bachelor in Media Technology, Media and Journalism Technology, this qualification is assessed every 3 years.
Yeah.
On, does it still play a role in the Namibian economy?
Mm.
It's still giving the necessary skill sets that are needed in the Namibian economy. So on and so forth.
Yeah.
And who gives those insights? The private sector, but the industry participating.
Yeah.
So now I ask the question. This report basically says that it is not there. That insight is not there. But we can already see that technically some of the counter arguments that you and I know about is not contained in this report.
No, I see. I read it because they're speaking about responding on time. Like you change curriculum based on the needs at that point. And I think they also referenced something related to too much regulation process for you to change that to respond to what is needed on time. I think it's a bit contradictory to look into that aspect. If it's already happening, maybe it's not happening fast enough. Maybe that is what they are saying.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or the desired goals to be achieved probably. They must try and find a path that fast-tracks these particular goals.
There is also one thing which I wanted to ask, to say. Do we understand the meaning of a recommendation? If you are giving a recommendation, are you only giving a recommendation because a recommendation is a solution to that problem, or because that recommendation is possible? Because a recommendation must be possible at that point in time. You don't just recommend because a report needs a recommendation.
Mm.
You need to give a recommendation that can be considered. To say, and if you have to ask yourself a question to say, if all those recommendations that you have put out there are implemented, are they going to solve the major problems? Because you still do not have a solution on how to solve unemployed graduates.
Yeah.
You are still looking at institutions, but that should be maybe part of the core objective, to say, what is the impact of this institution to the society? How many engineers did you produce into the Namibian field? How many are in the private sector? How many are in the public sector? How many employ themselves?
Mm.
How many journalists do you have?
Now that is the assessment that should inform this report.
That is what I'm saying. Because for you to say curriculums are not changing, what data have you used?
Mm.
And
because I see that they didn't even, the NCHE didn't even present on this NCHE their own report to this committee.
Yeah, because if that had happened, then it's going to be better, because you know exactly what you mean in terms of numbers.
Yeah.
If you know how many HR graduates you have produced in the field, it's also easy for you to say, how are you going to stop? Do you know the funny thing about what we don't want to do in Namibia?
Mm.
What we don't want to do, and it's going to kill us.
Mm.
Not literal death. But is this thing of knowing exactly where the problem is. Currently, we have the prediction are saying over 15,000 education graduates.
Mm.
Where is the problem? The problem is oversupply of the primary school graduates.
Mm.
Then there is no institution that put a threshold.
But
until now. No.
Are you talking about the teachers?
No. Let me get to there.
Are you talking about the teachers?
Yes.
Okay.
There is still no institution that put a threshold
exactly
on the primary school
enrollment.
Enrollment.
Yeah.
Now here is where you have a problem.
David is saying primary school teaching.
Primary school teaching.
Qualification, guys. Not the school level, please.
Yeah.
We are not denying your basic right.
Because continuation of producing that into the field,
yeah,
it's not undermining your rights to educate people. It's going to put another burden into the market. Now, I've seen a video, and I know it's legit, where the president is saying, if you are studying for education at the primary school level, you are booking yourself a ticket of unemployment, which is fair, but the question
which is factual.
Yeah, which is fair, but the question is, what is those who have power doing?
Yeah,
because if somebody go to university, nobody want to be just at home. If you realize that there are not enough courses, you go and do education, and that is it's also uncalculated financing from government.
Yeah.
Because why are you not stopping something that you already know that is putting more burden? If you already have 15,000 people in the market and you are only absorbing maybe 1,000 per year, why are you not putting a threshold to say, yes, let's maybe give to say this institution must just enroll 10 people.
Mm.
Or we put it on hold, for example, to say, no, private sector, allow this, not to completely stop, because if you completely stop it, you also cut the jobs of, do you know that you also cut the jobs of lecturers?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean to support your what you're just now saying there.
Yeah, yeah.
Under the NCHE presentation that they did for this committee, they say here, under the challenges, there is a critical misalignment between skills produced by higher education institutions and the demands of the labor market.
Yeah.
This is evidenced by a high unemployment rates among graduates, particularly in fields like teaching and nursing.
Yeah.
And an oversupply of graduates for certain specializations.
Yeah.
Which basically speaks to what you just said now.
But is that part of, is the recommendation speaking to that problem? Do we have a recommendation speaking to that problem?
Let me see.
Yeah.
Let me see. No. The oversupply of graduates in these certain fields demonstrates a clear disconnect between the enrollment planning of institutions and the actual needs of the economy.
Mm.
It doesn't say it's a recommendation. That's all it says.
You know why it's not saying it's a recommendation? Because
no one has a solution.
No, because it's cutting it at the business part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because and that is also some of the things that reality should kick in.
Mm.
Because if educating primary school teacher is business, then it's not a good business. No, it's true, and that is why they don't want to speak about.
Do you want to say it's not an ethical business?
No, it's an ethical business, but at this point in time,
you are
paid to supply to what the market needs.
Exactly.
And if you are supplying
under the assumption that there is still a need,
where do you think they are going now? Where do you think they are going? No. Where do you think
they are? That's why I said under the assumption.
Yeah. No. Now, if I bring my kids to you. He said, oh, David, I'm training your kids. So that they can become... No, they are training my kids for space science, for example.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example, but we don't have really in the next 10 years to...
We don't have, what do you call those things? Yeah. Those telescopes and stuff,
Yeah.
No, it's a good thing you're mentioning that.
No, it's really not a good business. No, it's a business of money, but that's why we are saying let the school of education not close down.
Mm.
But the school of education should have a threshold
directed
and also determined by what do we have in the market.
But yeah. let's even go back to our previous point, David. Yeah. Just on that, the point that comes from the interns.
Yeah.
The point about the fear versus, what was it? The fear versus
pride.
Fear versus pride dimension.
Yeah.
We currently don't know
how
many people are retiring and resigning.
Yeah.
Okay, if you now go to Ministry of if you now go to MESAC and you ask them how many vacancies, teaching vacancies are there, they will tell you, yeah, there are more secondary school teaching vacancies than the primary school's teaching vacancies.
Mm.
Which will be a clear opposite that you can even a clear confirmation that you can even guess.
Mm-hmm.
The concern sometimes is we have Namibians that are going to work up until 59 in many industries.
Yeah.
But not enough, how can I say, junior positions are being created below those experienced Namibians.
Mm.
Now I heard a very interesting thing 2 weeks back.
Yeah.
Not 2 weeks back. Last week, actually. A local politician here for the Windhoek East constituency. I won't mention names, but he's the IPC representative at the City of Windhoek Council. He mentioned something very key because he said even Namibia's old age legislation works against people who become 60. You can have a successful business, David.
Yeah.
You can make all the millions you can for your retirement age and for your pension plan.
Yeah.
But the moment you become 60, the whole financial sector
will reject you.
Not reject you. Mm. They treat you differently. You can have the million in your bank account.
Yeah.
But they will say, okay, yesterday when you were 59, you could withdraw $3,000 per transaction. And then tomorrow when you become 60, you can only be limited to $500 per day.
I hear you.
So scenarios like that in terms of how we look at an inclusive society, the lens that we apply in terms of inclusivity, whereby the experience helps the inexperienced, the old helps the young, the young will in any way help the old, and also the intermediate, the guys in the middle. That are occupying the middle sort of like space.
Yeah.
How they play a connecting branch between the two sort of like realms.
Mm.
We are not seeing that presentation in Namibia. Not even in NDP6 are we seeing that presentation.
Yeah, maybe it's still coming. No, I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. There's a lot of things that we deal with in a society. But one of the things is I just wanted a clear recommendation that can solve problems.
Mm.
If you have identified that there are 20 criminals within the certain community who are beating up or raping kids, your recommendation should not be public education on crime. Your recommendation should be, let's deploy the task force. Let's deploy let's deploy the high priority, unit to deal with that. Because if you identify the problem and you are diplomatic about the recommendation, then we are not going.
Yeah.
Because if you have already identified that primary school education, teaching is now becoming not useful because you already have enough in the market. And let us not stop it, but let us limit to say there's a certain percentage to say private university, maybe this, state university, maybe this, and keep those people functional while you are solving this problem.
Mm.
Then you have maybe another recommendation which is indicating to say out of 15,000 that you have in the market, the practical reality is that when you create, for example, 20 schools, you only absorb, for example, let's say 3,000.
Yeah.
What will happen to this one? Can you find another training that can upgrade this to say you studied education, primary school level, but if I upgrade you, maybe you can become a community development practitioner.
Mm.
Or if I have upgraded you what you already have, maybe you can work in public education in terms of green hydrogen. Just for example, to say if you already have 15,000 in the market, you will not absorb them in the next 10 years. That is a reality. And you continue to produce thousands in the market, then your recommendation should not be diplomatic. Because if the recommendation is diplomatic, next year we're going to have another study.
I mean, it's a good thing that you explain like that, David, because if you've got a burst pipe at home, you call a solutionist like a plumber.
Yeah.
You call the plumber and you ask the plumber, dude, can you please come
fix that?
Can you please come and fix this pipe?
Mm. Please. Yeah.
And can you come here in the next 10 minutes? It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's flowing out.
Yeah.
And then the plumber shows up.
Yeah.
The plumber writes you an invoice.
Yeah.
They apply their skill sets and voila.
Mm.
You empowered someone by giving them an opportunity.
You can't call Eagle FM and say we need to fix pipes in this thing.
Or you call a nurse to come and play electrician.
Yeah.
No, you can't do that.
Because if really our leaders identify the problem and they are not recommending the main solution, how will the implementer know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
One thing that we have to identify is obviously, David, that the Namibian population will not stay stagnant at 3 million.
Yeah.
In the next 10 years, we can expect probably Namibians to be literally probably at 3.5 million in the next 10 years. A dimension that also stems from this is a discussion of, now, under this, is it NCHU or is it under NTA? They make that comment once again, the one about the mushrooming of training facilities in this report. I have an issue, David, with
the wording.
Not just the wording, because people forget that communication is just like rice or like. You know, you added no flavor to your porridge, you know. It's just there, flavorless.
But it's still a porridge.
But it's still a porridge, and it's still nourishment, man. It's still a porridge, and it's still nourishment.
Yeah.
The concern that I have with the kinds of labeling, and I've seen it now from the standing committee from the National Assembly, and the standing committee now from the National Council.
There's no diplomacy.
These guys are targeting private business. David, do you know that you have the right to open up a training facility today?
Yeah, I know.
As you're sitting here, and as I'm sitting here,
definitely.
I can decide to open up today. I'm going to open up a community college, let's say, in Beer Sheba. And I'm going to convert Beer Sheba into, like what Stellenbosch is.
Yeah.
It's just farms and
the university.
The university makes the town.
Yeah.
The town exists because of the university.
I hear you.
I decided to go do that at Beer Sheba. There's nothing that a parliamentarian can do. Do you know why? There's a law that says there's a law in the constitution that says as long I have the right to open up any business, as long as it does not deal in an illegal activity.
Yeah, you know, I think the naming is personal. No, either personal or political.
No, it's the second one.
Yeah, it's political, ne?
Yeah.
Because I was also not happy with that invitation. You attended that event, ne?
I attended it.
When it's saying the presentation is about the mushrooming of higher education institution. Because if you have already judged me.
Why must I come and present?
Yeah, because you already have your own judgment. Why should I come and explain to you?
Yeah,
and you get it from and I like the manner in which those directors of the institution presented themselves, because they were very clear about the law.
Yeah,
because the problem was not the people; the problem was the law. To say you don't need to call it mushrooming. Maybe you can say if you fix the law, you will not have mushrooming. And there's nothing about mushrooming as long as you have that law. That is the other thing. I think it's just something that was need to be fixed legally. Not really something that you can name an individual who is following the law. That is a law, even a law-abiding citizen.
Mm.
And person can sue you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I still don't find anything wrong with some of the recommendation given. What I want to understand is that is the objective of the report met by those recommendations. Mm. Because you have objectives, you have the findings, and you have the recommendation. Now, if you have to mark, I like marking. If you have to mark that report to say, is that a report? If all the institutions that are there are identified, take all those recommendations seriously, are you not going to have a problem that this committee was trying to solve? Take all the recommendations.
But the committee's true aim was fact finding.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that's why I asked the question, David, when you stepped in.
Mm.
After 5 years, we're going to have another election.
Fact-finding. Mm.
Will there be another fact-finding about the same thing?
No, the other thing that you also need to find is that how many facts were found which were not there. No, it's true. It's nothing wrong to say, okay, because somebody must win you through a factual argument.
Yeah.
To say, if you have to bring you on the other side to say, you went on a fact-finding mission.
Mm.
How many facts did you find that you did not know when you went there?
Mm.
Then you say, no, I found this one, and this one. Then I can say, do you know that there is a study by NSA, which is talking about almost what you have said?
Mm.
Do you know that there is a study by Ministry of Education, which is speaking about this?
Mm.
Do you know that August House
already has its own report?
With its committee has studied this. Do you know that at NAST, at UNAM, School of School of Education, or at NAST School of Engineering, there were a study which was done by these students at a master's level, and this is the results. You will be shocked. Maybe there are two facts, because I see there are new things, but there are also things that were already there.
Yeah.
Then you wasted the resources
in Ochivarongo.
You wasted energy.
Yeah.
Then
you wasted S&T.
You wasted S&T. Then we are going to continue next year where we ended with fact finding.
Yeah,
and also to say, if now let's give you the benefit of the doubt to say, we like what you have done, and these are problems really we have seen. You engage institution, maybe it's good also to go there and confirm.
Mm.
Now, did you just put the recommendation because it's speaking to the problem, or you also read the current situation? Because lawmakers must be able to understand the financial part of it.
Yeah.
Because in the same way to say, no, how come you guys did not fund ACC, which is fighting treason?
Mm.
Then they say, okay, no, we tried our best, but the funding is here. We are operating in a prudent manner.
But the president has to... We need a gazette, a law, defining treason. Defining corruption as treason, eh?
No, I don't think it was at that point. I think it was a gravity of seriousness of the thing.
I know. She was labeling it that way.
Yeah, at that point. But now, if you are saying you need more money on R&D, yes, government has capacity. You are assisting the government. Where do you think that money is going to come from?
Mm.
And then you've
got to prove.
Yeah.
What were you spending the previous R&D budgets on?
Yeah, you have to ask yourself that question to say, if you are giving a recommendation, listen, we need more funding to R&D, to research, where is it going to come from?
Mm.
Maybe you can also say, this initiative will bring more money.
Mm.
That can be the other way, because there is a lot of advisors. We have economic advisors, we have ministerial advisors, we have financial advisors.
Policy advisors.
Within the financial institutions, then we have everybody making recommendation.
Mm.
But an implementable recommendation must also be funded, must also have where the sources are going to come from.
Mm.
Because money will never get enough. There was a time when I was doing BS, I asked a question to say, how much money Namibia need to solve its problem? It's a 3 million population with different classes, but how much money do we need to come up with sustainable development? You can't quantify that.
But we also have to ask, David.
You can't quantify that.
What kind of sustainable development? Because if you're gonna say, if we're gonna say nah, it has to cascade through a ministry downwards.
Yeah,
it's not gonna work.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've now identified.
Yeah.
After looking at last year's local authority and regional elections, I was standing like that.
Mm.
So, the actual implementers of development on the grassroots, community, everyday level is the local authorities. ne?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't these guys have the PhDs and the qualifications representing us so that they know, I don't like it that my town still has gravel roads.
Mm.
I want pavements, storm drains, and tarred roads in my town.
Mm.
Why don't we have the actual person there?
You'll find somebody does not know the difference between a pavement
and a road. You are right, David.
But yeah, I think...
They are across Namibia. It's not just in one part of Namibia. They are across Namibia.
I think development must also be not one-dimensional or not be left in one person's hands.
Yeah.
Because there's also, I think, a problem that we have in the society where I think it's an individualistic approach. You find really good people that... And I always have a problem with people that retired.
Yeah.
When you are not working for an institution or you are not working for a public service, doesn't mean that you are not functioning in the society.
Mm. You are still living in the society.
You are still living in the society.
You are still part of it.
Because if you are a former CEO, for example, or you are a former engineer, you're a former a media personality, then you just retired.
Mm.
You don't have anything to do. Maybe you have a side hustle business that you do, or you just have a retirement fund that you depend on. And you see wrong community projects being done.
Mm.
Young people, they are trying NGOs here, NGO there. They are trying to get something, but you are just there quiet. And this, I have an uncle like that. We are going to talk to him.
No.
And this really not patriotic. Ne?
Mm.
It's not something that is showing a national pride where you were a responsible citizen. There's somebody who just wake up driving a rent cruiser, go buy 3 newspaper, go to Kapana, and come watch TV.
Mm.
That is a retired maybe CEO. And I'm not saying this by insulting anybody. Or retired engineer. But you are in the community. You believe me, you might be safe now. But if you are not contributing to the solution of those community problems, those problems will still catch up with you.
No, that former CEO's money is in South Africa.
Yeah.
The actual burden.
Those are the resources that we are supposed to
use. It's the stress that the Namibian government has because the Namibian government wants to convince the private sector pension funds to invest in Namibian projects.
Yeah.
We have the money, David.
Yeah.
The money is there.
Mm.
But here's the downside. Mm. Now, let's say that young person shows up with an NGO. What was that thing at the public-private partnership conference last year where the guy from Cirrus Capital, the economist, said young people would walk into his office and say, I have a business idea to employ people. And then he says, okay, how are you going to make money?
Mm.
And then the young person can't answer it. There's nothing wrong. You can have the altruistic vision of helping your fellow human. Eh?
Yeah.
But if you can't prove how to recuperate the money, you just want to spend the money, but you don't know how to get the money back.
Yeah.
Your idea will never flourish.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
And then the biggest concern is that CEO, that retired CEO, ne?
Mm-hmm.
His or her money is sitting in South Africa, earning interest in South Africa, and they are enjoying it, David.
And that is wrong because
why is it wrong, David?
No, people, you know what you need to know.
Yeah.
As long as you are in Africa, what you need to know is that whether the community funded your school or did not fund your school, you still owe your community. That is the thing. And you're right. And these are the principles that have been guiding Africa for a long time.
Yeah.
To say whether it's only your parents who funded your education, you still owe the community because they made who you are.
Mm.
Now, if you become so successful, then you become so individualistic.
Mm.
There's nobody who will come and arrest you.
Mm.
But you are contributing to the problem
because you're not actively participating.
And there is a saying that the hottest place in hell is reserved for those who kept quiet when things are going wrong.
Mm.
To say you did not do anything wrong, but you kept quiet where you have a solution. Yeah, that's why they are saying the hottest place in hell. Mm. It's reserved for those people. Mm. And it's something that it's a proverb that is stated to say, not necessary in that sense, if people are interpreting it, but to come to the point of indicating to say, when you have capacity to assist and you're not assisting, we don't want people to, sometimes just ideas.
Mm.
Because if you are a retired director of education, and you see children, what they are doing within the village, you are just passing by with your car.
Mm.
You go and buy your bread pack. You sit with your wife and all these things, which is nothing wrong. Mm. You are enjoying your retirement.
Mm.
But sometimes you just need to take time and go to the school principals to say the tricks that you guys are going through. I was already a school principal maybe 20 years ago, but this is the game. This is what you need. This is how you deal with people. Then it's easy. Same with the retired doctors and all these things, because you still owe the community, whether they give you directly or indirectly.
Yeah,
yeah. That's why I think the human resource aspect is also necessary. A retired human capital is still human capital.
Mm.
That's why you know, I don't agree with AfriForum what they do in SA, but one thing that they look at is
the principle. I sometimes also don't agree with the principle, because it's highly political.
Yeah, it also happened in America to say you always have those think tanks that they come and absorb these old school guys because they still have institutional capacities. The same will happen. I was speaking to one international relation expert who said, you know, when countries go to negotiations, there are those old guys who come and do work for pro bono just to make sure that their countries are winning.
Yeah.
You go to the UK, they can be invited by those committees to say, no, we have a committee on international affairs. We are going to enter into these negotiations. Those old EU diplomats, they are there with their suitcase in their 80s or 90s. They say, we are going to do it on pro bono as long as it's going to save us. And that is a good thing about having your country to say, it's still a human capital, it's still a retired professor, but it's willing to come on board to say, as long as it's going to benefit Namibia. Let me save a conversation in Namibia and SA about our orange issue. If a retired guy at the age of 95, he heard about that, as long as they have capacity, they will still stand up and say, I'm going to accompany you. I don't need to be paid.
Yeah.
Because one way or the other, I can still contribute.
Yeah.
And that is what we need. Because most of the things, they pile up because we do not have people that can look to the community anymore.
It'll be difficult, David, to convince people to do that.
Yeah. I hear you.
The reality is, because we've seen it for so long now, for 36 years.
Yeah.
The previous year, the people retire.
Mm.
And if you're looking for, you know, sort of like a fallback in terms of, can we still leverage on this person's skills?
Yeah.
That person will tell you, pay me, or you get nothing.
And this is really wrong. It's really wrong because you can't do it alone. The government is not going to solve our problems. We need to be in that on the table, all of us.
Mm.
The retired, the young ones, the academicians.
Mm.
But
where are the business people?
Everybody must be there.
Oh.
If an intern is already fighting with an employer, but when he was interviewed, he said they can work under pressure.
Yeah.
Now they're chasing each other in the office with shoes. Then we have a big problem that does not require any theory. We just need to also work on ourselves.
it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But before we continue, guys, we're quickly going to take a short break because we're going to take it for a live read. Pavichi University for the 2027 applications that are now open for the Faculty of Health Sciences for the following programs. Certificate for Enrolled Nurse, Midwife or Accoucheur Level 6, Certificate in Pharmacy Level 5, Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences Level 6, Bachelor of Social Work Honours, Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours, Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing Level 8, Postgraduate Diploma in Occupational Health and Safety Level 8, Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing Level 8, Master of Public Health and the Master of Occupational Health and Safety. For more information, please call 081-403-6406. Velvita University, where everyone is an achiever.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you. We come back, dear listeners, there from the extended break. You are here on The Home Run. We still have our last sixth to go. Yes, or the last half of the last third, whichever particular fraction you want to use, doesn't matter, guys, it's up to you. We are here dissecting primarily a standing committee from the National Council's report, a fact-finding report, which is a bit weird, continuously fact-find. I mean, David, if you look at this scenario of fact-finding.
Yeah.
We should advance from a certain base, ne? I mean, there was definitely fact-finding done somewhere else. You already mentioned it. Reports on certain subject matter. Things that seem to be duplicating here and duplicating there.
We can bet you give me $100. I can reproduce that report in 5 days. I use No, I'm just saying it without just looking at it. Just
are you preempting the loss in the bed?
just give me the institution. I'll find the sources.
Yeah,
but that is just a joke. There are really things that I knew.
Yeah,
yeah. But most of them really there was a clear picture of where the country is going. We are not really saying everything is not. It's not important, but there are things that are obvious that we already know or that are already known by either institution that are doing it. But I think fact-finding, we must move to say from fact-findings, where are we going to land now after we found the facts? And are we talking about the facts that are new or the facts that have already been there? But yeah, I think... there are some kind of direction. The thing I'm always saying is that it will be not fair if we are saying there's no progress.
Yeah.
But it also important to understand what kind of progress are we talking about. The fact that we come to this point of continue repeating the same problem, it also means something. To say the society is starting to understand, even those who did not understand before they go to the mission, they now understand. But... if now we have also SADC leaders that are saying, when are we going to start? I think it's the right moment. Maybe we are getting somewhere when you have that situation where you see people are saying, now, guys, we can't just continue being in a circle. We found the facts. We understand what is the market need. We understand the skills that we need. We have seen what other countries have done. I think it's a good thing until we start. Because what we need to do now is, what do we do with all the information that we get? Do we continue to reference them? Do we continue to produce another papers? And the printers are getting tired. In Namibia, the printers are getting very, very tired.
Why? That's the job of a printer. They have to print.
No, they want something new. They want something new.
Oh, you think in terms of the themes that are being printed?
No, in terms of the themes and in terms of the new actions being taken too.
A core concern, David. The reason why I highlighted our starting point now up until for the next 23 minutes.
Yeah.
Is we have to see where we are moving with knowledge. Look, the nice thing there about humanity that I realized,
yeah,
we produce so much information.
Yeah.
Even if you produce the same information,
yeah,
with a different theme, yeah, every day,
yeah,
we produce so much information, David. There is no way that humans are stagnant. The concern that I realized from this report,
yeah,
yes, it's a fact finding, it's a fishing expedition. The concern from this is they should then tell the next council, the next national council, please don't come and do another fact finding. Work from this base. I would like them. That's my request, mm-hmm, my recommendation to, mm-hmm, this National Council, mm-hmm, of Five, the Standing Committee of Five people. My request would be, please, somewhere in the halls or in the corridors of the National Council, the Parliament building, mm-hmm, please tell the next National Council in 2030, don't come and do the same thing again.
You know, the other thing which I also look at is coordination between the National Assembly and National Council.
Mm.
Because you have almost the same committees with almost the same names,
mm,
which almost do the same thing.
Or they swap one word out from another,
yeah,
committee.
Yeah, yeah.
But
maybe also to look at the coordination to say, are they coordinating too?
Yeah.
Because that is also necessary to say, what is the law saying about committees within the council?
Mm.
Are the committees within the council supposed to coordinate with the committees within the assembly?
Mm.
How is the institutional coordination?
Mm.
Because remember that all of them are parliamentarians,
mm,
and Namibia Parliament is one.
Mm.
When people do not know, those are just houses.
Mm.
Then what was supposed to be done is that is everybody on his own, or we coordinate?
Mm.
Because when people don't look at it, people will look at Parliament, they look at the National Assembly.
And they believe it's just National Assembly.
Yeah, it's not that to say I'm, yeah, an MP. Everybody's an MP. Even those councillors, you look at them as, they are all lawmakers with,
yeah,
different functions. Yeah, that's why the issue of coordination is also matters to say, are these institutions talking to each other too? Because if they are not talking to each other, then you also have a problem,
mm,
to say, are they assisting each other? If they are all in education, all those institutions, all those committees that you see with the same name,
mm,
most of them, they are still speaking to one person who is not part of those committees, the Minister of Education.
Mm.
Yeah, because...
But the Minister of Education goes to National Assembly.
He's got to National Assembly, but he's not part of the committee.
Of council or of the committee.
Yeah, he's a minister, he's not part of those committees.
Yeah.
But Tate Baroti and Meme Sanete, they read all those reports. No, they read all those reports. But maybe somebody will be able to see that. I still have to look into it to say,
yeah,
how do they coordinate with each other?
Yeah.
What are the parliamentary rules saying,
yeah,
about committees? Or these committees, they are just assisting the upper house, this one. But if it's that aspect, they must share information.
Yeah.
Because, Kucha colleagues, we are going to fact findings on what, if we already have a bag full of facts here.
Yeah.
Maybe we can assist.
There's a whole website with the reports on it, yeah.
Yeah. So, I think it's coordination matters. Coordination really matters because we are not like other parliaments that are different.
Mm.
Like South Africa is different. They have provincial parliament, as we have this one.
It's, and they've got levels of parliament.
They have a lot of the SOP.
There's a, that provincial parliament, eh? If just for the Namibians to know, we have a national, we have a regional council, eh?
Yeah.
They've got a provincial parliament.
Yeah.
But the regional council doesn't make a budget.
Mm.
Those guys make a budget.
Yeah, no, they do have. They have their mini president, the premiers, the premiers, and it's interesting. It is interesting to look at them because you realize to say some positions are more than the others that are at the national level.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's interesting to look into that.
Yeah. Yeah. So another particular point that I also just want to emphasize has been the aim of higher education so far in Namibia. David, we've in Namibia, it's safe to say, and now there's a disparity that I realized here between what is quoted under the NCHE numbers here in this report.
Mm-hmm.
They say at one stage Namibia currently has 97,000 graduates or students Sorry. An enrollment growing from 41,000 students in 2012 to 97,000 in 2025. Specifically, if we look at this aspect, Namibia has achieved an aspect of a knowledge-based society, but the earlier points that we referenced in our discussion so far in terms of meeting industrial or economic development needs versus just giving someone the certificate or the degree or that certification, that stand, that industry standards recognized certificate. What impact will that person do, or what impact has an institution like a higher education institution done to the economy? Now, you've already touched on the oversupply, oversaturation dimension of certain jobs, certain sectors.
Yeah.
But it's also a discussion of about, once again, the standing committee representatives understanding the role of higher education.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, David. We actually need more universities. I'll be honest with you.
More universities?
Yeah.
Why are you saying that?
Not in Windhoek. In other parts of the country. Do you know why I'm saying that?
Yeah.
Just for the mere reason of, firstly, empowering certain parts of the country. Yeah. Let's, for example, say you put a university of Oshakati in Oshakati. A university of Kiatmanshoop in Kiatmanshoop. Not a branch or an office of UNAM or of NAST or of IUM.
Yeah.
You open up a university
from
that town. The one that I explained to you, the Beersheba one.
Okay.
You do something like that.
The Beersheba, you are the Vicimus.
I'll be the rector.
Okay.
That's my plan.
Oh, okay, okay.
But you train something.
Okay.
The reason why I say that, David, for some reason, even in our economic planning.
Yeah.
And it's planning I've seen in countries that are close to other major economies. For example, Canada, right next to the US.
Yeah.
Us, right next to South Africa. New Zealand, right next to Australia.
Yeah.
You try to see what works, what doesn't work, and then you adapt yourself in your economic sense.
Mm.
In Namibia, how is it that we have not looked at South Africa and we encouraged all those people that got PhDs and master's degrees and said, hey, listen, at least 3 or 5 of you go and establish a community college in a different part of the country.
Mm.
Take skill sets to that community, to that region. David, if you go, do you know that we've got latent potential in Ochotonchupa? We've got latent potential, for example, in Erongo.
Yeah.
Why do I say Erongo? Firstly, you've got a tourism market. There's a market, and you can just put another market right next to it. Ochotonchupa, there's a market, and you can put just another market right next to it. So these markets will continuously feed each other.
Mm-hmm.
They will work in a circle continuously.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of now everything being in Windhoek. So now you're just centralizing once again.
So the branches does not matter?
No. We'll come back. I'll answer that after the break.
Need some help with the groceries this month? Then YouSave has a competition that is just for you. Every Friday between 1 and 2 p.m., Eagle FM will be giving away a $500 YouSave voucher. To stand a chance of winning the $500 YouSave voucher, all you have to do is follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, X, and Instagram, and be on the lookout for the weekly competition question. YouSave, where good food costs less.
Okay, my turn.
Just let me finish my story. As I was saying,
my man, you've been finishing your story for 10 minutes now. Even my chassis is getting warm.
Just give more eyes. Anyways, long story short.
Oh, hi. When you're talking, it's a short story long.
Short stories turn long. Go best together with Tassenberg. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Okay. Yeah. Coming back, guys, from the quick break right there, you are here on the Friday edition of The Home Run with Dwight and David. David was still asking me about the branch business model of the...
Make me understand.
And also to you, the listeners, make you guys understand. But I've mentioned this a few times before. So what I've observed, David, is that if you decentralize this centralized planning of Namibia in many of the government's services, and you go open up a university in Oshakati, you inadvertently change the economic dynamics around Oshakati. For example, the property developers in Oshakati would realize, hey, listen, we can build more accommodation.
Yeah.
With more accommodation comes more retail businesses following that.
Yeah.
Think of it like, a leopard following its prey.
Okay.
The prey is walking there, the leopard comes along. Because it happens in nature.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Herbivores,
yeah.
When they migrate,
yeah.
Then the carnivores follow their food.
Yeah, the food must be followed.
Of course. Yeah,
not the other way.
Now, it happens the same way
in
how societies are organized and, for example, the economy found in human societies.
Yeah.
Now, if we continuously, let's say a new university pops up in Windhoek, you are just adding more to Windhoek's profile. Now, Windhoek has one big major problem, water availability.
Yeah.
But you've never heard other towns in Namibia have water supply issues.
It's a fair argument.
Now, besides that, you can take and completely change the economic profile of a town like Keetmans, of Swakopmund, of Oshakati. And while doing that, you also change the academic profile of the region.
Mm-hmm.
For example, now, let's say scientists and other lecturers and other academics realize, oh, you know what? Oshakati is actually a nice place to live in. Nice weather, nice community, everything is friendly. There's not this busy lifestyle of a city. It's a nice town.
Yeah, you are correct. I think it's it speak with decentralization too.
Yeah.
To say a branch can be imported, but establishing a standing institution, I think, is quite better.
Because a branch just stays there, a branch.
Yeah, the branch is just a branch. I know you are absolutely correct. And they're giving also identity.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when a university come to a place, there is a lot of things that are also coming. And it also going to reduce a lot of cost. Because coming to Windhoek, grandmother have to sell their chicken.
Mm.
So that we can get transportation to come to Windhoek.
David, you like it.
No, it's true.
It's a reality, I know.
But why are you laughing?
No, because I can see that you want to laugh. So I was like, why is David always using these examples?
Okay. Yeah.
But it's a reality. No,
yeah, they have to sell their chicken and their goat
to
make sure that they make it to Windhoek. And it's also a struggle to maintain somebody in Windhoek that is not working.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have your other tsotsi that you have just produced, not necessarily intentionally.
Mm.
Just because you're not able to sustain that person. Mm. And somebody being closer to walking to university, for example, it may look like an unadvanced thing, but it's an advantage.
Mm.
Yeah, that's why even when in complementing to the branches, various institutions that are around, I think your argument is very fair to indicate that somebody still wants to come to the center because not everything that is offered by the branch is there.
Mm.
Because some branches, they are just specific.
And they've got specific goals.
Yeah.
But let's say the person wants to study law, but they've got to come to Windhoek.
Yeah, even medicine and many others.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think it's really fair.
So the opportunity is also there, dear listeners. For those of you, I'm just giving you free business advice for that matter. I don't know how to send you the invoice so that you pay me for that free advice. But these are the kinds of knowledge that we should be benchmarking from these national council, national assembly, standing committees, because they now have to start asking pivotal questions about, okay, so what's the reason for the lack of economic development or the lack of, let's say, just moving forward or advancing the industrial conversation in Namibia?
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe one of them will get to that stage, David.
Yeah, I think it's true. You know, the one thing which, especially when you bring about the thing of opening universities in various towns, what I also started thinking is that when you do that, you must also do it with a different intention, not only to accommodate students. Maybe you become more practical, you become more advanced, then you, as it was recommended, you also start tracing, because it's not the university of continue training primary education, you know, level teachers, but maybe you bring about new things, or maybe you also become more careful learning from others, because a new university must always learn from those who have existed.
It
should not be a crone. It should be something that is coming with a different vibe. That's why learning from mistake is quite important, especially learning from mistake of others.
Yeah,
and that is wisdom.
Let me give
from your own mistake, learning from pain, you may not survive that mistake.
Yeah. Or you become defensive and you don't realize, okay, maybe I need to change in a specific approach.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example, David. I know the UK has 65, 68 million people in it, but I'm going to use a country, a territory that is smaller than Namibia.
Mm.
So the UK has 164 universities.
Yeah.
Ne? They've got, how many of them are in a capital? There's London, one, two, three, four. Yeah, five at most.
Mm.
They've got five, six in a capital. But the UK's two most famous two universities, Cambridge and Oxford, are in the small towns of Cambridge and Oxford. Small towns.
And they were the major cause of the industrialization.
Exactly.
No, I hear you.
They were also the major causes of the Renaissance after Christianity's dominance on information
and
literacy.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it's only, okay, you and I, we are two people that have graduated.
Mm.
We know about these knowledge sets.
Mm.
But for some reason, it's exactly the two people that you spoke about a little bit earlier, and even like the retired persons, the Namibians.
Yeah.
It's actually us who have the potential to mobilize such resources.
I hear you.
Because here's the thing, David.
Mm.
We are not limited by the environment. We are limited because of our thinking.
No, you sound philosophical. You sound like
you say I'm starting once again with my philosophies.
No, it's good that you have mentioned that you are not limited by your thinking. You are not limited by the environment, but the limits are still there.
The limits still exist.
Yeah. Then we go to where the problem is.
Mm.
Some of the limits is what is in that document.
Mm.
Some of the limits is a legal framework, for example.
Mm.
Some of the limits is fund, as it has been stated.
Mm.
Some of the limits is unnecessary competition, because innovation, in the history of innovation, there has always been counter innovators.
Mm.
Some of them, they got killed.
Mm.
And some of them, they got bad mouth and they never upgrade. If you are creating something new, that is a good disruption. But a good disruption will not come with good things.
Yeah.
Look at people like giving an example of International University of Management. I mentioned it anyway.
Mm.
When it started, people had a lot of doubt. But until now, it has proven to be one of the highest private institution in Namibia. And look at what they produce, how they assist. You know what is interesting also? They are even assisting somebody who was opposing its existence, because they are in private sector, they lead in public sector, they're in academia, and they're international.
Mm.
Just one of the things to say, innovation, as you have indicated, they may not be limited, but they are still going to be challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, the other concern has also been it, David. There will come a point, for example, that we will overproduce graduates, which we currently are already doing. But we will.
The point has already come.
That's why I corrected myself by saying we are already there.
Yeah, yeah.
But we will exacerbate that thing even further. The next thing we would probably need is, for example, okay, how do we generate new knowledge? Now, I've continuously seen, for example, at the few times that I've gone to IOM events, specifically like the one last year about the Association for Private Institutions that IOM is the chair of. The one speech given there was one about private institutions can play a pivotal role also in a developing country's economy. Yes, it can. For example, you already gave that example.
Yeah.
Let's, for example, say you already have the theory-based guys, which are the big three here in Windhoek, or the majority of these private institutions in Windhoek. But let's, for example, say, David, we need more creatives. You know, like a movie, a university that's just there for making movies, advertising design, everything in the arts and in the performing arts, and you position that, for example, in Okahandja.
Hey,
you can have a complete university on that. Do you know that, David? Some of the best actors in the world, the world for the English language, come from Australia and the UK. Do you know why? They go through theater departments, theater schools. You know, they go through theater schools, and your basic entry. Let's say their basic. Sort of like competency level is that they did appear in theater, but the whole reason is technically that those two economies are supplying their own creative economies.
I hear you.
So we can still create the economy, we can still create the supply, we can still advance certain economic developments in certain sectors that are untouched, undiscovered, uncultivated.
Yeah.
Okay, untapped, David. I don't know. Oh, that's an oil and a water reference.
Untapped territories.
You know, the economists and the policy analysts, they keep using that other phrase that I complained about.
What is it?
The phrase of what do you call it? Conducive environment. Cultivation. There's like, what?
There is conducive environment, untapped resources.
Yeah.
And the very chain. And in this.
This is just copy and paste each other's language.
We want to benefit from the very chain.
And you're like, what are you saying?
No, mate, we cannot wait to benefit from the very chain. And the very chain, you can't just benefit like that. You must do something.
Yeah.
No, it's always coming out. Oh, the very chain, untapped resources.
Or conducive environment, and then you ask, okay, define conducivity.
Or the plane, leveling of the playing field.
Then you ask them, then define conducivity.
How conducive? Yeah.
No, we need the law. Okay, but how can you have a law there if you are not operating already? Or, you know, which was the issue of the private health training facilities. You know, that were asked, okay, are you registered? No. Now, how are you operating? Well, because I was told for me to be assessed, I first need to be operating.
I'm telling you.
We're going to leave it there, guys, because it does bring us up to the end for our Friday edition of The Home Run. David, any last words, or are you just going to say goodbye?
Yeah, see you around. Enjoy your Friday. Let's meet in the corridors of Windhoek. Yes.
What kind of a greeting is that?
Let's see each other. And what has been indicated, especially with the report, let's continue reading and also compare.
Yeah.
And effort is just effort. We always need to appreciate what is being produced.
Yeah.
Maybe the question is, what can we learn from the report?
Yeah.
What can we take out? And also, what can we advise? Because development is not a one man show.
Yeah,
you must assist in that aspect. Yeah.
And it shouldn't be just in certain particular aspects of the economy.
Yeah.
On that note, guys, from my side, see you on Sunday. David said meet him in the corridors of society or Windhoek. So that's a David thing. On that note, guys, enjoy the rest of your programming. Stay tuned for the next program after the break.